Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Way in the back of the Bible. All right. You all know the song. We learn it from little on as Christians in churches. What's the most famous song for a kid to know in church? Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so, right? Yes, Jesus loves me. We know that Jesus loves me. I think we as Christians can hear this so often that Jesus loves us that it can cease to have any meaning for us. It can lose its meaning. Growing up in America, growing up in a Christian culture, we know and we hear that God loves us. Unbelievers know that God loves them. And they're happy that He loves them. But there's a confused message about God's love. Hey, we're told in our world to love yourself, pamper yourself, treat yourself. You know, love yourself because you deserve it. There's another children's show. It's got that big purple dinosaur. What is it? Barney. What's the song on Barney? I love you, you love me, and all this I love. So we hear, I mean, this purple dinosaur loves us. God loves us. Purple dinosaurs love us. We love us. Our parents love us. Our teachers love us. Everybody loves us. Hey, husbands and wives tell each other they love them, they love each other, and then they proceed to hurt each other and leave each other and so on and so forth. We hear that people love us, but then we see, I mean, that purple dinosaur don't love us. It doesn't know who we are, right? It doesn't have a clue who we are. And growing up, I heard that God loved me, and it made sense because I love me too. So of course God loved me, right? But I didn't understand what it meant for God to love me. Is it true that God loves us? Of course. Is it true that we need to tell people God loves us? Loves us? Yes. I think, however, that we miss the meaning of God's love amidst all the confusion in the world about love. And I give to you this morning that we cannot understand the love that God has for us apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Apart from sin being paid for by the blood of Christ, apart from the gospel of Christ, we cannot understand God's love. Let's please stand as we read from 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for this morning. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for each and every word of God that proceeds out of Your mouth, that we can study it and we can learn from it, and that it is divinely inspired, and so we can preach from it with authority, Lord. And I thank You that we can come this morning and hear Your Word and study Your Word. Lord, may You open each of our ears, each of our hearts, to what You would have for us this morning in Your Word. Help me to rightly divide Your Word of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. It's a song, isn't it, Rich? Yes. Yes. Maybe we'll sing that later or something. But it's a song, so it's tough to say that verse without having the rhythm of the song in my head. But the verse basically says, look at this, behold, look at this, study this, think on this, what type of love that God the Father has for each of us. We're supposed to think on it. We're supposed to behold it. Okay, we know that God the Father loves us. God is love, but in what way and how does He love us? We know the Bible says that God so loved the world, all of mankind, that He gave His only begotten Son. He loved us that way. And we're told in this verse that God has loved us so much, it says right here, that He calls us the sons of God. So what type of love does God the Father have for us? A love that He's able to call us then the sons of God. Therefore, the Bible says, the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. So, this verse is saying, because God loves us, and He calls us the sons of God, therefore the world's not going to know us because of those reasons. Because we're part of His family. And because they didn't know Him, the world will not know us. So the question this morning, the first question is, does the world know you? It says, therefore the world knoweth us not as Christians because it knew Him not. Does the world know you? Now, Adam knew his wife Eve, right? And she conceived and had a child, a boy named Cain. He knew her intimately. Do you know the world intimately? Does the world know you intimately? Are you right in there with the world? Because the Bible says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So the first thing is a Christian says, the world should not know us because it didn't know our Savior. So the first question this morning is, do you know the world? Does the world know you intimately? The world shouldn't know us if we're sons of God because the world did not know Christ. They didn't know they were crucifying the Son of God. They didn't know they were crucifying God. Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do, right? And I believe Jesus knew what he was talking about. He said they didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know that was truly God there on the cross when they were crucified. He said, forgive them. They know not what they do. They did not know Christ. Let's turn to John chapter 1. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 1. The world did not know Christ. The world knoweth us not because it knew him not. The world should not know us as Christians. What does that mean? But we know that the world did not know Christ. John chapter 1, verse 9. John chapter 1, verse 9 talks about Jesus. He says that he was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. They didn't know Jesus, even though he's the creator of the world. He came unto his own, the Jews, and his own received him not. So Jesus Christ, the world did not know Christ. Look at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. So the world and everything that we see, everything that was made by Jesus Christ. He's the creator. Then we go down to verse 10, and it says, he was in the world that he made. And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. They did not recognize Christ. They did not know him. In Mark 1:34, we read something interesting. The Bible says that Jesus healed many of diverse diseases and cast out many devils, and he suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. So Jesus didn't allow the demons to speak because they knew who he was, but the world that he came to save didn't know who he was. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The world did not know Jesus Christ. The world did not know our Savior. The world would not accept. They did not accept what he said when he said that he was the only way to the Father. That's blasphemy, they said. The world would not accept when Jesus said he was God. The world would not accept when Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. The world would not accept when Jesus said, I and my Father are one. The world would not accept when Jesus said, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. That's too much. If we believe on you, we're going to have everlasting life. No way. The world would not accept Christ. So it's no marvel then that the same world will not accept us as Christians. They knew him not. They're not going to know us as Christians. The world turned on Jesus, did they not? They loved him when he came in on that Sunday, Palm Sunday, and they turned on him and they crucified him. It's no marvel then when the world turns on us, which it will, if it has not already, as Christians. But I say what a privilege it is to be worthy, to be counted worthy, to receive that same treatment as our Lord and Savior. They didn't know him, they won't know us. So the question is, does the world know you? Are you intimate with the world? We're told to behold the type of love that God the Father has for us. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. We're to think on this. Jesus, through Jesus, God calls us his sons. Now, is that a big deal for God to call us his sons and daughters? I mean, is it really that much love to say, you know, you're my son? In football practice with those junior high kids, a lot of times they say, hey, good hit, son. Come here, son. Hey, you got to play some better football, son. I mean, I call them sons, and I don't think that they need to behold what manner of love I love them with. I'm just calling them son. So is it that big a deal that God calls us sons? Is it really putting him out that much to just say, Rich, you're my son. June, you're my daughter. Is it that big a deal? I say it is. I say, first of all, we got to understand what kind of sons and daughters we are. We are not his begotten sons. John 1:14 says, and the Word was made flesh. Jesus Christ was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Father. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, Ashley and I, we've begotten three children. JC and Taylee and Bo. Those are our begotten children. Now, we could adopt other children. We could call them sons, but they would not be our begotten children, right? And that's what God does to us. He adopts us into his family. We are not his begotten sons, so we get that straight. We are adopted. Well, what family are we before we're adopted? Let's turn to John chapter 8. Are we just out there in limbo before we're adopted? Well, we're part of a family. We have a father before we're adopted. John 8, verse 44. John 8, verse 44. We're looking at the nature of this adoption, that we could be called sons of God. Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, to people that did not believe on him, who were not born again, he said, "Ye are of your father the who? The devil. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do." Before we're born again, before we're saved, we're not children of God. And there's confusion in the world today. A lot of teachers, a lot of things would say everybody's a child of God, and he loves us all. He loves us all, but we're not children of God. We are of our father the devil, and the lusts of our father we did do. I did do. We are of our father the devil. So we're a part of that family. But then let's go to Romans 8. Romans 8. I think we have to understand the nature of this adoption if we want to understand the love and be able to behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Because love is so confused in our world, we think, sure, God loves us. But we really got to think, what did God do to show his love? How much love does he really have for us? How much love does it take to call us sons of God? Look at Romans 8, verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now the Holy Spirit comes and leads us when it dwells inside of us at the moment of salvation. When we're saved then, the Holy Spirit dwells in us, we are the sons of God, the Bible says in verse 14. Verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of what? Adoption. The spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We are adopted by God into his family. We're not born children of God. We are adopted into his family. Verse 16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God when we're adopted into his family. We're not begotten of him, but we are adopted of him. But still, okay, Ashley and I could go out and adopt. When we have our begotten children, we could adopt children. Now, should we say, look, behold, what manner of love we had for you that we adopted you children? Say, still no. It's a lot of selfish reasons probably involved there. I mean, still, if we can adopt, what's so great about God adopting us? We still haven't got to the bottom of the issue of why we should behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Because we can adopt. We can call people sons. We can do all those things. What is it that God did that was so great? Let's look at 1 John again, 1. 1 John 1. What is it that we are to behold? What manner of love is this that's supposed to be so amazing? What's so amazing about calling us sons of God? 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, and here it is, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Remember that. God is light. 2 Corinthians 6 tells us, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. The Bible says that there is no fellowship between righteousness and unrighteousness, between light and darkness. And God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. The question is, are we dark? Can he have fellowship with us? I mean, if we're light, of course he can, but if we're dark at all, he cannot have fellowship with us. So the question is, are we dark? Ephesians 5:11 backs this up even more. It says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We should have no fellowship. We should. How much more God, who is light, and in him is no darkness at all, how much more can he not have any fellowship with darkness? None. So the question is, before we're saved, when we are still sons of Satan, sons of the devil, the lust of your father ye will do, the Bible says, when we're still that, are we darkness? Ephesians 5:8 tells us that we were. It says, ye were sometimes darkness. At some time, before you were saved, you were darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. So we were darkness. All of us were darkness. We have to know that we're born again. We had to be darkness and at one time say, listen, I repent and I turn to you in faith, Jesus Christ. You died for my sins. You shed your blood for me personally, and I turn to you. There has to be a moment in our life we do that. We were darkness, now we're light. We're not just light all the time. We're not born Christian and just continue to be Christian. There has to be a time we're born again. We were all sometimes darkness, the Bible says. But now are we light, walk as children of the light. But the thing is, we were darkness. And God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And light can have no fellowship with darkness, the Bible says. Through Jesus Christ, though, God made a way to have fellowship with us, the creator of the universe, to have fellowship with a sinner like me and a sinner like you. He made a way through Jesus Christ for us to be called his sons, to be part of his family, so he could have fellowship with us. And through the blood of Christ that was shed for our sins, we have the opportunity then. He doesn't force us. He doesn't make us. But he has paid the price for our sins that if we call out on him, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we call on him, we shall be saved. We have the opportunity to be adopted out of Satan's family, out of a family that is headed for hell and destruction, into the family of God. And this is the manner of love. God didn't say, yeah, I'll call you sons and I'll adopt you. He said, I want to call you sons, I want to adopt you, but in order to do that, I somehow have to overcome that I'm light and you're darkness, and I can have no fellowship with you. And the only way was through his son, to sacrifice his son and kill his son on that cross, allow his son to be killed. So now think, of course, Ashley and I could go adopt, but now think if we wanted to adopt a child and the only way for some reason was to let one of our children be killed, to let Bo be killed in order that we could adopt. Now that is a different manner of love. And that's what God did for us. He himself died for us on the cross. He allowed the sins of all mankind to be put on his son on that cross. Now that's a manner of love that we can behold. That makes sense now. That's something that none of us are willing to do. And he didn't ask us to do that. He did that. We don't deserve the salvation. We don't deserve to be called sons of God. It's a free gift. There's no way we can earn it. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we say again, behold, look at it closely, the type of love that God had for wicked sinners like you and I. He made a way for us to be adopted into his family. That's what this verse is saying. We just think, oh, God loves us. Sure, God loves us. But think about the love. Behold what manner of love it was to send his son, to allow his son to be killed just so you could be adopted in. And we don't deserve it at all. How can we be made a son of God? John 1 verse 12 said, but as many, not a few, not the ones that were already elect, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Anybody that receives him has the power then. God gives us the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We believe on him. We put our faith and trust in him. We become the sons of God. As many as received him, we receive him. Let's move on here. We understand now the manner of love that the Father has bestowed upon us. Behold what manner. Okay, but what do we do then? How do we respond to that love that he has for us? Let's turn to 1 John 4. We're in 1 John. Just flip over a page. 1 John 4, verse 19. 1 John 4, verse 19. The Bible says, we love him because he first loved us. We love him. As Christians, we love God. Before we were Christians, we did not love him. We by nature do not love God. We don't love someone who is Lord over us. I mean, babies, you think of having a kid without being taught, they do not like as a parent when you tell them what to do. You don't have to teach them that. You don't say, hey, listen, I want you to rebel when I say no. No, they hear you and they keep crawling the other way. Right? But they like telling people no. People like telling other people what to do, but they don't like to be told themselves what to do, even little babies. And that's the same way we are before we came to Christ. We don't want to have somebody be Lord over us, be God over us, tell us what's right and what's wrong. The Bible says that this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. We love darkness. We were in that condemnation. We love darkness rather than light, even we know he was the light, because he would reprove those things. We liked our evil deeds. We didn't want to be told what to do and what not to do. That's the condemnation. My little sister used to say, she's 5 years younger than me, we're growing up, "You're not the judge of me," she'd always tell me. She'd always say, nobody likes to be told what to do, right? But that's what we tell God. "You're not the judge of me," but he is. He's the righteous judge, and all of us will stand before him. He is the judge of each and every one of us. In our fallen nature, we don't like that. So then we come up with things like, well, we just evolved, you know. All this stuff came from nothing. We come up with reasons so we don't have to believe this because we don't want him to be the Lord. We don't want there to be a God. We want to be our God. But God loved us. He loved us first, and that therefore we can then love him. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't love him, and then he said, okay, now I'm going to give you my son to die. He loved us while we were yet sinners. This verse says, we love him because he first loved us. Now, how do we love him as Christians? Is it just an emotional love? Is it a feeling we have? Is it just during praise and worship time that we love God? Is it just a verbal love? Do we just say things? Or is it a love of action? How do we love God as Christians? We love him because he first loved us. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." 8 verses later, he said, "If any man love me, he will keep my words." 2 times he said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. If any man love me, he will keep my words." How do we love him? Just by a feeling? Just by words? No, it's by action. He said, "If you love me, keep my words, keep my commandments." What words? What commandments? I think a lot of us like to treat it like the buffet. You know, see the Brussels sprouts, we go on by that. We see some cottage cheese, we want that. And we see something else, I want that pudding, you know, that cake. We take the things that we like and we don't take the things we don't like. And that's what we do with God's word. And that way we can say, "Yep, God, I'm obeying you in the things I want to obey you in." But really, we're still Lord of our life. We're our own Lord. So what words, what commandments are we supposed to keep? Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. If any man love me, he will keep my words." Let's look at Luke chapter 4, verse 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 4. We've understood what manner of love that God the Father has bestowed upon us. We say, what do we got to do? We should love him because he first loved us. And we do love him because he first loved us. But what is that love? What should that love look like that we have for God? Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." What commandments? We're figuring that out right now. Luke 4, verse 4. What commandments? Jesus, after being 40 days in the wilderness fasting, is being tempted by Satan. And Jesus answered him in verse 4, saying, "It is written." It was written in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone." Correct? But by what? The Bible says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Chapter 4, verse 4, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen? Every word of God is pure. Amen? Every word, every jot, every tittle shall nowise be removed. Every word of God, every commandment of Scripture. We ought not remove any of God's words. We ought not add to God's word. We ought not ignore any of God's words. We ought not explain away any of God's words. And that's where I think right now the church is at as a whole. We try to explain away. We love saying, well, in the Greek it maybe said this and has this sense, or back then in that culture they did this. And so when it says these things, it really doesn't mean that, because in that culture it's at that time, and we live in a different, more enlightened age. I give to you this morning that God is powerful, and he's powerful enough to give us his word exactly as he wants it to be. He's powerful enough to give us his word and have it say just what he wants it to say. We don't have to sit here and try to figure out, well, you know, he gave us this, but it's a 2,000-year-old book, and it doesn't really mean that. No, God gave us his word. How are we to teach all people to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, if we don't even know what he commanded? It's clear. We know what he commanded. All things whatsoever he commanded, we're to teach, not just some of the things. We're not to explain it away. We're not to remove. We're not to ignore. We should live on, Jesus said. We should obey every word of God. That's how we love him. If a man love me, he will keep my words. So we love him because he first loved us. He loved us with the love of action. He didn't just say, I love you, Dale. He didn't say, I love you. He said, I love you, and I'm sending my son to die for you, and I'm going to call you sons of God. I'm going to accept you into my family. He did all this. It's all action. We are to love him with the love of action. Because talk is cheap. Many people can say they love God. It's not surprising that many people say they love God if you ask them. Many husbands tell their wives they love them, don't they? Then they go out to work and they flirt with other women. Many women tell their husbands, I love you, honey. Then he leaves or whatever, and then they call up their mother-in-law on the phone, their mother on the phone probably, or one of their friends, and start talking behind his back, tearing him down. Many husbands, they'll say, I love you, wife, and then they'll go cheat on her with pornography. Many wives will say, I love you, husband, and then they'll go fantasize about having some other husband or something like that. Talk is cheap. Many people say they love God, just like many people say they love their husbands, but the proof's in the pudding, isn't it? Many people use spiritual language. Many people think they're probably fooling God. They can fool people. There can be people sitting in pews today all over the country, right in here in this sanctuary, fooling people, but you can't fool God. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. You're not going to fool God. You're not pulling some wool over his eyes. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Many people say they love God. Jesus talked about in Matthew 7. He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And he will say unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You're not going to fool Jesus. God knows our lives. God knows our hearts. He knows if we know him. He knows if we're keeping his commandments. And God said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my words. Which words? Every word. But do you love God? God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Why should we love God by keeping his words? Because we can behold what manner of love he's already loved us with. It's already finished. It is finished what God has done for us. We can see that. We don't have to guess what manner of love that God has for us. We know he sent his son to die on the cross for somebody that doesn't deserve it, for puny little people like you and I. He exchanged our sin for his son's righteousness. He called us his sons. He has fellowship with us. I mean, you think about the perfect, righteous, all holy, all powerful God, the creator of the universe, that does all this stuff by just his word. It said, you know, let there be light, and there's light. And that he then took it upon himself to make a way to have fellowship with us. We're not talking about some little idol. We're talking about a real, the real God, the all-powerful God. Okay, by obeying him, then we do more than just giving lip service to him. When we love him, we obey him. When we obey him, we yield control to him. When we yield that control to him, the world will hate us. They won't like it. The world didn't like him. The world didn't know him. The world won't like us. The world won't know us. The world hated him. Jesus said, because ye are not of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Ye know that it hated me before it hated you. When we obey him, the world will hate you. When we love him, though, that's the deal. It looks like it's all bad. You know, we obey Jesus Christ and the world's going to hate us. But Jesus said, when you obey me, Book of 1 John says that it's written so that your joy may be full. When we obey God, when we obey Christ, when we obey every word, our joy is going to be full. But the world tells us, that's ran by the god of this world, Satan tells us, nope, sin is where it's at, sin is where it's fun, sin is how you're going to have joy. God says, obey me and keep my words and your joy will be full. So who are we going to believe? Satan or God? Satan, in that same verse, John 8:44, says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Jesus Christ told us that Satan was the father of all lies. You're going to believe him when he says sin is where it's at? Sin is where you get happiness. Sin is where you get joy. You're going to believe God where he says, follow me, obey me, and your joy may be full. I mean, we'd be stupid to believe the father of all lies. True joy is found in God. True happiness is found in God. The world's happiness is fleeting. The world's happiness is empty. True joy is found in God. So I want to leave you with three of these verses we looked at this morning. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Think about the love that God the Father had for us. Not a Barney type love. A love where he sent and allowed his Son to be crucified and the sins of all mankind, yours and I's, to be put on him so that we could have eternal life and we could have communion with God. Behold that manner of love. Think about that love. And think about, we love him because he first loved us. We do love him as Christians. We should love him as Christians. But that love isn't a love of just saying it. It's not a love of just feeling it. It's a love of action. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my words. And I think the creator of the world, the one who made a way for us to be in communion with him, if anybody deserves it, he deserves it. He deserves us our obedience. He deserves us to just say, Lord, use me. And we're going to fail. We're going to fall short. But let us repent of that. Let us not enjoy it. Let us not try to marvel in our sin and stay in our sin. Let us turn from that and turn back to God. And please God and obey his words, obey his commandments. You can please stand. Put down your Bibles. You can close your eyes, bow your heads. So Jesus is saying to us today, you know, if you love me, keep my words. Now, if we are not hard-hearted, if we are having hearts open to God, there's going to be something he's going to convict us on, something in some area of our life that we need to change. And I ask you this morning, don't resist that. Allow him to lead you and obey him. Now your joy, Jesus said, may be full when you do that. The world may hate us. The world may bring persecutions. It may seem totally countercultural, so totally crazy to do. But who are we going to believe, the father of lies or the father of truth? One who is the way and the truth and the life. So I ask you this morning, if God is working on your life, follow him. This morning, as we talked about, if you have not had a time in your life where you were darkness and you were light and you changed the direction you were going and you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you were born again, where old things pass away and behold, all things become new, and you know that in your life that happened, if you do not know that you have been born again, Jesus said, ye must be born again. Marvel not that I said, ye must be born again. Don't leave here this morning without having that done. I ask you to, if you need, come up after service and talk to me. Let's get your salvation settled today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for this verse. Thank you for the love that you have shown to us. And when we think on it, when we behold it, we can see that it is an amazing manner of love. And it's the gospel. It's what needs to be preached. It's what needs to be told to the world, is how amazing your love is and that you sent your Son to die for us. So may each of us behold that this week. Behold that in our lives and share that with others. Be witnesses unto you here in our hometown, here at our work. Lord, I thank you so much for this day. I ask these things and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.